All right, well, if you have a Bible, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And over the last couple of months, we've been going through the book of Ephesians. Remember that Ephesians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to Christians in Ephesus, Ephesus being one of the major cities of the Roman Empire. And Paul wrote this letter while he was in jail. He was in prison for the gospel. Probably about 62 AD. And of course, the letter was not just for Ephesians a couple thousand years ago. It's for Christians today. Amen? And we've been going through this powerful, powerful letter over the last couple of months. And the theme of our message, of our sermon series, is Ephesians, our new life in Christ, as it says on the top of the screen. Our new life in Christ. We've been talking about what it means to be in Christ. It's simple, right? To be in Christ just means that I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I am his disciple. And if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then you're saved. And if you're saved, then the Bible says God sees you in Christ. To be in Christ is a new identity. And the book of Ephesians, this letter, Paul has just been expounding on how everything is different in our lives because we are in Christ. It's not by works. It's not wages. Not something that we earn. We're saved by what? By grace through faith. And so Paul has been expounding on the blessings we have because of Jesus in our lives. We've been chosen to be part of God's new people. We are forgiven. We've been redeemed. We have an eternal inheritance in heaven awaiting for us. God has given us the guarantee of this eternal life through his Holy Spirit, who now dwells in us. And Paul prays that this would not just be doctrine, not just be words coming off of a stage, but he prays that we would understand the power. There is great power beyond imagination towards us who believe. And Paul reminds us of who we were before Jesus. Without Jesus, you were dead in sins. You were lost. You were on your way, the broad path, the wide road that leads to destruction. You weren't on God's team. You were strangers and aliens to his promises and his covenants without Christ. But in Christ, through the blood of Christ, you have been brought near. Amen? You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are citizens of God's kingdom. You are members of God's own family through faith in Christ. Through Jesus, the list of sins that stood against you, that condemned you, have been nailed to the cross. He's reconciled you to God, and you have peace with God through Jesus Christ, and you have access to God the Father, and you're now part of a new community, God's chosen covenant community of faith, the new temple, the true, the real temple of God, not made of brick and stone, but hearts aflame for Jesus Christ. And now, at the end of chapter 3, of the book of Ephesians, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21 this morning. And Paul ends this first half of the letter with a prayer. And so that's why the title of my message this morning is Paul's Prayer. And the purpose of this prayer is that Paul prays, man, I pray that they would get it, God. He's been expounding on all of this doctrine, as I just gave you a summary of chapters 1 to 3. Of everything that we have and who we are because of what God has done for us in Christ. And the second half of the book of Ephesians, as we're going to see as of next week, Paul focuses on how we should live, that we should walk in love, in humility, in patience, loving our wives, loving our children, forgiving one another, how we should live. But before Paul gets to that, this week, this morning, he prays one more time for us. And that is my prayer for you and for me sitting here this morning, that the words this morning wouldn't just be a preacher preaching off of a stage, but it would be your everyday experience, amen? That it would be real, not just doctrine or teaching that you hear or notes that you write on a piece of paper, but that it would be in your heart and it would be your everyday experience, amen? And so this prayer of Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, really, we could divide the prayer up into three parts, and we're going to read it in just a moment, verses 14 to 21. But it's a simple structure. What do you do when you pray? When you begin a prayer, what's the first thing? We address God, right? We say, God, or Lord or Father, Father in heaven, Heavenly Father, right? That's what Jesus taught us to pray, our Father in heaven. And so Paul begins this prayer in the first two verses by praying to God, addressing God, the Father. And then he goes on in verses 16 through 19, and that's the real meat of this prayer, the actual request of Paul. And as the title of my message suggests, Paul prays for three things. He prays for power, he prays for love, and he prays for presence, the presence of God. And so verses 16 through 19, we have the real meat of this prayer, Paul's actual request on behalf of us, the ones reading this letter. And finally, the last two verses is what we call a benediction or a blessing. Paul once again directs his attention to God and says, "Blessed be God who works powerfully in us. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen." And so let's read this prayer together. Again, the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. I'm going to read it. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." In verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And so this prayer of Paul for the church, and by extension for you and me, followers of Jesus Christ. Look with me at the first two verses. Again, the introduction. Paul addresses God. Just as when you and I pray, we address God in prayer. That's how we begin. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." Now, verse 14 is pretty simple to understand. Paul prays to God the Father. But verse 15 is kind of difficult, and I have to be careful not to spend too much time here. It's interesting to think about what Paul is saying in verse 15, but really, to put it in a nutshell, Paul says, God the Father, from whom every family on earth is named. We understand that, right? Every human being was created by God. Every ethnicity, every nation, every people group, every one of the 8 billion people in this world was created by God. And Paul says, I pray to God, the Father, the creator of all human beings. But he also talks about the family in heaven. Now, Paul's not talking about humans in heaven. When he says every family in heaven, he's speaking of non-human spiritual beings. We call them angels and demons. Paul doesn't qualify whether they're good or bad. What is Paul saying here? Paul is basically saying, I'm praying to God the Father, the creator of every kind of being out there. You see, the Ephesians, they worshiped lots of idols. They worshiped all kinds of different spiritual beings and powers. They looked for powers from beyond physical human beings. They looked for spiritual powers. And Paul says, I'm not praying to them. I'm not praying to any human. I'm praying to God, the Father, the creator. He is above and beyond. His power is greater than any angel, any demon, any god or goddess, any human, any ruler. I'm praying to this God. And so he gets to his request in verses 16 through 19. And the first request of Paul is for power. Read with me in verse 16 and the first half of verse 17. Paul's first request, he says, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul's first prayer request here is that you would be strengthened with power, that you would receive power. You know, this is the second time that Paul has prayed for power. In chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, remember that in the beginning of Ephesians, Paul prays And his main request for you and for me is power. He wants us to receive power. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, he says that you may know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. So once again, the first thing on Paul's mind, his prayer for us, for you this morning, is that you would receive power. What kind of power? Human power? Earthly power? Physical power? Are we talking about weightlifting here? What kind of power is Paul talking about? According to the riches of his glory. It's according to God's resources. It's a power from God. He says that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through what? Through his Spirit. The power that Paul is talking about here is a spiritual power. And it's not from earth, it's from heaven. To be strengthened with God's power. How many of you want to have more power from God this morning? I think that's something that if we believe in God, we follow after him, we all long for more of his power in our lives. Paul says this power is through his Spirit in your inner being. So he's making it absolutely clear. It's not a physical power. It's in your inner being. Paul prays for power. And look at verse 17. Where does this power in our inner being come from? It says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Where does the power of God in us come from? It comes from Christ Jesus dwelling in our hearts. And that makes sense, doesn't it? If God, the Almighty God, lives within you, then you have access to the world's greatest power in you. Now, it's not you. That's what our society would say. It's in you. It's you. It's not you. It's God in you. Amen? It's Christ in you. It's not your power. It's God's power in you. And you say, well, of course, I want Jesus in my heart. How can I have Jesus in my heart? But what does Paul say? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through? Through what? Faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And so that's the first question I have for you this morning. Does Jesus live in your heart? Isn't this a great verse? We talk about how we need to have Jesus in our hearts. And Paul makes it very clear here. Jesus dwells in our hearts through faith. And this is something that Paul said at the beginning of the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians 1:13, he makes it extremely clear how we can have God in us. He says, in him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Paul makes it very clear here. How can we have God? How can we have Jesus Christ dwelling in our hearts? He says, when you hear the word of the gospel. Now, the gospel just means good news. And in the New Testament, the gospel is very simple. Jesus Christ. It's all about him. No one else. Amen? Just Jesus. He died on the cross for your sins, and he rose again. So that if you believe in him, your sins will be forgiven, and you will have eternal life. That's the simple message of the gospel. And Paul says very clearly here, when you hear the gospel and you believe, what happens? You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit, God's presence comes and dwells inside of you. And Jesus says, not only does the Holy Spirit come inside of you, but God is one, right? The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're not divided. They are one. And so if God's Spirit lives in you, then God the Father himself lives inside of you. If the Holy Spirit lives in you and the Father lives in you, then Jesus Christ lives in you as well. That's what Jesus said in John 14:23. John 14:23, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and what? We will make our home with him. Isn't that a wonderful promise? If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. And Paul says, if God lives in you through faith, then the source of all power lives in you. And I pray that you would be strengthened, not with the power of this world, with the power of the flesh, of your physical body and your physical strength. I pray you would be strengthened with spiritual strength through him who dwells in you. And so two questions for you, and those are on your study notes. The two questions, does Jesus live in your heart? And of course, as we said, that's a simple thing. It's through faith. Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? And as I look around this room, thank God most of us can say with confidence, Jesus lives in my heart. And my second question for you is, whose power are you living on? Yours or God's? Whose power are you living on? How many of you have been through a power outage before? Anybody experienced a power outage? You know, growing up, every once in a while, all of a sudden, all the lights would go off. Know what I mean? You're sitting around, you're eating dinner, and all of a sudden, it's just like all the lights just shut off. No electricity. Boom. Power outage. And what happens? You just wait, right? Maybe you light a few candles, and then, you know, within a few minutes, maybe within a few hours, hopefully, the power comes back on. And what do you do? What do you do when the power comes on? You turn the lights on. You plug your appliances in. You start using that power, that electricity. What would you think of somebody who just kept living in darkness after the power was turned on? The power's turned on. They have electricity. They have light. But they continue to just live as if there's no power. You know, there's a lot of Christians that live that way, unfortunately. The power's been turned on. You have access through Jesus and you to all power. And yet so many Christians live as if there's been a power outage. We've been severed. We've been cut off. Jesus lives in your heart through faith. Don't live in your own power. Live through his power. Well, the second prayer request of Paul is for love. Love. Paul's prayer for love. And this is the lengthiest and really the heart of this prayer. It's a beautiful prayer here. The second half of verse 17 all the way to the first half of verse 19, 17b through 19a, Paul prays for love. Let's read it together. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So here Paul's prayer for you, for me, is for love. That we would understand God's love. And notice the first thing that Paul says. I love it. He says, my prayer is that you would be rooted and grounded in love. These words, rooted and grounded, they are picture words. You know, rooted, roots, agriculture, like a tree has roots. Grounded or founded, architecture, like a building. Every building has a foundation. And so the question is, are you rooted and grounded in the love of God? Is the love of God the roots of your life? If you think about a great big tree, the roots are what keep that tree standing, right? I mean, if you cut the roots off, you know, the tree instantly falls to the ground, right? And you think about the roots of the tree is the source of life, isn't it? It's through the roots that the tree gets all of the nutrients and the minerals, the food, so to speak, so that tree can live and thrive and be healthy. And Paul says, my prayer is that you would be rooted in love. Where are your roots in this morning? Are you rooted in God's love? Is that the source of your life? Is that the foundation on which you stand? And the second word that Paul uses, grounded. You could also translate it founded. In other words, architecture, foundation. We know every house, every building without a foundation falls, right? The foundation is the most important part of a building. And Paul says, my prayer is that you would be founded, that the foundation of your life would be the love of God. Is God's love the foundation of your life? And you know, this word grounded is the same word Jesus used in the parable of the wise and the foolish man. Remember that parable? Jesus said one built his house on the sand, one built his house on the rock, and the wind and the waves came. And what happened to the house built on the rock? It stood in the midst of the storm because it was founded on the rock. And Paul uses the same word, that you would be founded, grounded. Is the rock, is God's love the rock of your life? Is God's love the foundation of your life? There's no other foundation that will keep you through the storms of God, of life, except God's love. Amen? And the second part of Paul's prayer here is, I love this language. Paul says, my prayer is that you would have strength to comprehend, eloquent, the length, the breadth, the height, the depth of God's love, which is beyond knowledge. I think Paul, in prison, he's just kind of being overwhelmed. God is overwhelming him with the sense of his glory, with his presence, with his love. But you know, interesting, if I talk about, you know, what is the length and the breadth and the width and the depth of this table here? That's the full dimensions of this table, right? If I know the width and the breadth and the length and the depth of this table, then I know the dimensions of this table, right? And Paul says that I pray that you would know the full dimensions of God's love. The length, the breadth, the width, the depth. Do you know the dimensions of God's love? You know, there's a verse in Psalms, Psalm 103. I love Psalm 103. Psalm 103 verse 11 says, "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him." Isn't that a wonderful verse? Isn't that a wonderful promise to remember, to claim? How high is God's love, the height of God's love? As high as the heavens are above the earth. That's how high, that's how great God's love is towards you. You know, modern science is discovering just how high the heavens are above the earth. Billions of light years. You know what a light year is, right? If you travel 186,000 whatever miles per second, every second of the day, every second of every hour of every day, every week, for a whole year, that's one light year. 186,000 miles every second. That's a lot. That's a lot of distance covered. You know, I checked this last week, and I guess the current estimate that we know that the universe, the radius of the universe, at least from our Earth, is about at least 43 billion light years. Radius. So you times it by 2 to get the diameter, 96 billion light years. And we are limited simply by the power of our telescopes, right? If we could see further with our telescopes, then I'm sure we would discover more stars. We would discover more galaxies, more comets, more solar systems. But I can't even imagine what it means to travel the speed of light for 96 billion years. I can't even imagine how big of a distance that is. Can you? I don't know. That's bigger than I can imagine. The Bible says that's how high, that's how great God's love is towards you. And that's why Paul says, you know, he says, the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. I don't know about you, but that's much bigger than my knowledge. Amen? The knowledge-surpassing love. Paul prays, I pray that you would know the knowledge-surpassing love of Christ. Just as an astronomer spends her life studying the stars, mapping out the solar systems and the galaxies, knowing that she'll never, ever get to the end of this 96 billion light year big solar system universe that God has created. So you and I are called to be astronomers of God's love, amen? You and I are called to search out the width, height, depth, breadth of the love of God. And it's rewarding. You know, astronomy is rewarding for astronomers, right, to look into the telescopes and map it out, right? And yet they know their knowledge is just infinitesimal, you know, just so small compared to what's actually out there. And in the same way, you and I are called to search out the love of God, knowing that we're never going to get to the end of it. You know, in our church, a few of us are going through a book called Journey with Jesus. And it's a great little devotional book. And I think Scott's mentioned it a couple times during worship, but Journey with Jesus, it begins with this three-week section on the love of God. You know, God loves you. God really loves you. God really, really loves you. You know, very profound stuff. But it's amazing just, I don't know, I think people in the group, I know for myself, how the simple fact, the first thing that I learned in Sunday school was what? Jesus loves me, this I know, right? For the Bible tells me so. And yet, how transformative, how incredible it is to think about, meditate, contemplate the simple fact of God's love. To grow in the knowledge of God's love. And in the book, David Benner has a great quote. He says, "Neither knowing God nor knowing self can progress very far unless it begins with a knowledge of how deeply we are loved by God. Until we dare to believe that nothing can separate us from God's love, we remain in the elementary grades of the school of Christian spiritual transformation." In other words, you can't really know too much about God. You can't really know too much about yourself without knowing about God's love. Amen? Knowledge of God and knowledge of self begins with the knowledge of his love. And spiritual growth, our spiritual growth as Christians, as followers of Christ, is limited by our knowledge of how great, how much God loves us. You know, Paul is a great example of one who was an astronomer of God's love, one who was searching out and researching and trying to understand the full dimensions of God's love. The book of Ephesians is a testament, is proof of how much truth, how much understanding, how much knowledge God gave to Paul, because he was continually searching out the greatness of God's love. And my question for you is, you know, on your study notes, there's a statement that says, the goal of our lives as Christians is to know God's love for us and to grow in our knowledge of his love for us. Is that the goal of your life? That's a question for you. Is the goal of your life to be rooted and grounded in love? Is the goal of your life to know God's love for you and to grow in your knowledge of his love? Even though we know, as astronomers of God's love, we're never going to get to the end of the universe. As we grow more and more each day in our knowledge of his love, it's going to always be beyond our understanding. And there's one more part of this verse that I want to point out. Notice in verse 18, this phrase, Paul says that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. With all the saints. With all the saints. So Paul's not saying, I want you to move to a desert and spend the next 20 years meditating on your own about God's love. Paul says that the knowledge of the love of God is something that we do with all the saints. And so it's a group activity. Growing in the knowledge of God's love is not a solo effort, it's a group activity. Amen? And so it's something that we do what? In church. What's the purpose of church? Why should we go to church? A lot of people say, man, I could hear better music, listen to better music if I stayed home and turn on the television and watch YouTube. You know, I could listen to a lot better sermons than you're given, Pastor, if I just stay home and tune in to the you know, most well-known pastors in America, right? And that stuff helps us, right? But Paul says that our knowledge of God's love is something that's dependent on, it's something we do with all the saints. Amen? Church is important. You know, I need you for me to grow in my knowledge of God's love. I learn that every time we have community group, every time we have some people show up. I learn that I learn from you. I learn something from people in this church. I need you for me to grow in my knowledge of God's love. And I hope that you need me as well. You see, we need each other. It's not just me and God, but it's me, you, and God. Amen? It's the church growing together with all the saints in the knowledge of God's love. And so the question for you and for me is, you know, what are you doing personally to grow in the knowledge of God's love? And how about corporately, your involvement in a church? What are you doing personally to grow in God's love? And here, of course, we talk about the classic spiritual disciplines, right? Things we've heard all our lives. Wake up, read your Bible, pray. Something we've heard so often, and yet it's true. It's worked for millions of Christians for thousands of years. And God, it works for you as well. Spending time reading the Bible, spending the time in prayer to grow personally in your knowledge of God. Journaling. You know, over the last couple of years, journaling. I keep a spiritual journal. That's very important for me. I've really grown a lot in my relationship with God through keeping a journal regularly. And even just throughout the day, right? Not just, okay, God, hi, good morning, see you later, talk to you when I go to bed, and then, you know, like kind of what Scott was talking about, right? I'll see you at Easter, I'll see you at Christmas, goodbye, right? Not just, God, hey, how's it going? Good morning, see you later. Hey, God, good night, I'm going to bed, signing off, good night, right? But it's learning how to grow in the presence, awareness of God's presence in us, around us, through us, throughout our daily life, amen? In the middle of work, in the middle of family, in the middle of our daily grind, learning to grow in God's love, in his presence throughout our lives. And of course, the other question is church. Paul says, with all the saints. And I know that I'm preaching to the choir. There's a lot of people in here this morning who you are actively involved in our church. And our church wouldn't exist without you. I'm very thankful for every one of you. But I know there's a lot of people here, I don't really know you. And my question for you is, are you doing what Paul says here? actively growing in the knowledge of God's love with all the saints. And so we have Sunday worship service. But we also have community groups, right? Small groups that meet throughout the week. We also have men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies. We have various events that take place in addition to Sunday worship, which help us all to grow in the knowledge of God's love. What can you do to grow more in your knowledge of the love of God in Christ? Let's finish this prayer. The third thing Paul prays for, and this is very quick, so we're not going to take a long time. It's a very short, sweet, simple prayer. He says what? In verse 19b, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And so a very simple request. Paul's final prayer is for presence. Now, it's really important that we all understand the connection between these three things. Power, love, and presence. They're not three separate things, but they all fit together as one. Paul prays that you would receive God's power through the knowledge of his love, and as you grow in the knowledge of his love, not only will you be strengthened with his power, but you will be filled with the fullness of God. Isn't that cool? Isn't that a great prayer? You know, I've been praying this prayer over you this week. God, I pray for Rick. I pray, God, that he would be strengthened with your power, that he would grow in the knowledge of your love, and that you would fill him with your presence, with your fullness. God, I pray for Yancey. Lord, I pray that you would fill her, that you would strengthen her with your power, that she would grow in the knowledge of your love towards her, and that she would be filled with your presence. How many of you want more of the fullness of God in your lives? I don't know about you, but that's my daily prayer. God, fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your power. Give me more of you. Paul says it's through the power of God strengthening you, through Christ dwelling in your hearts by faith. As you grow in the knowledge of God's love towards you, that's how you're going to be filled with his fullness. That's how you're going to be filled with his presence. Power, love, and presence. Well, I'd like to finish this text this morning, verses 20 and 21. And here Paul ends his prayer, as many prayers are often ended, looking back to God. You know, remember how Jesus ended the Lord's Prayer? How did the Lord's Prayer end? Yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory. Amen, right? It's a benediction. We end a prayer. Oftentimes a prayer is ended by blessing God. And so once again, Paul has prayed for us. Now he ends the prayer by blessing God, turning the attention back to God. So let's read verse 20 and 21. It says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And so Paul blesses God. That's the way he ends this prayer. But notice what he focuses on. That's what's important here. What does Paul focus on in this blessing? He says he focuses on God's power. And so we come back to where we started, the power of God. And he says, now to God, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think. And if you study the language of Paul, it's almost like I can picture him just grasping after words, trying to figure out, how can I express this great power of God in language? He's constrained by language to try to explain the unexplainable, the power of God which goes beyond human words. And he says, now to God who is able to work exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Notice the last half of verse 20. It's very important. According to the power at work within us. Now that is astounding. Not only is God all powerful, his power is just above, beyond, exceeding human language and description and comprehension. And this power is at work within you. Do you believe that? I think many of us believe that God is all powerful. Yep, I believe that. He's God. He can do anything. But Paul says this power is actively at work within your life. And that's the question I have for you. The final question this morning is, you know, this word active is energeo in the Greek, and it's the word energy, you know, the English word energy. And so it connotates active power. Paul is trying to tell us, God is all-powerful, and he's actively working his power, his love, his presence in your life? And so that's the final question this morning. Do you believe that God's unimaginably great power is actively working in you, working His power, working His love, working His presence in you this morning? I'd like to conclude. This morning we finished looking at Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's prayer. And Paul prays specifically for three things. He prays for more of God's power, more of His love, and more of God's presence in our lives. The power of God is greater than any other kind of power in this world. And yet the power of God is not physical, but it's through His Spirit. It's a spiritual power. And Paul says the power of God comes to you, to your inner being, through Christ dwelling in your heart through faith. So my question is, what about you? Does Jesus live in your heart? And that's not a hard thing. It's simply taking that step to confess your faith and believe in Him. And the Bible says that it's through faith in Him that Jesus comes and lives inside of us. And my second question for you and for me, Christian, is whose power are we living on? Our own or God's power? How many Christians are out there? Jesus lives in our heart. Way back when, we invited Him in our hearts, but today we live on our own strength, on our own power. Stop living by your own strength, by your own power. Allow God to fill you and refresh you with His power. The second thing that Paul prays for is the love of God. That we would know God's love and that we would grow in our knowledge of the love of Jesus towards us, rooted and grounded in love. I love that. Are your roots, the roots of your life, the love of God? Is the foundation of your life the love of God towards you? What's the foundation of your life? And then Paul uses this extravagant language, the length, the breadth, the height, the depth of God's love, which is beyond knowledge. And we talked about the example of the universe. You know, just as astronomers spend their entire lives trying to map out the billions of light years of this universe without ever getting to an end of it, so you and I are called as followers of Jesus to try to map out the billions of light years of His love towards us, to grow more and more each day in our understanding of the love of God expressed towards us in Jesus Christ. And so, first of all, do you spend time doing that personally? And we're talking about the classic spiritual disciplines here. Do you spend time? Do you have a personal relationship with God in prayer, in Bible reading, even praying throughout the day, growing in the knowledge of His love, seeing His presence, recognizing more of His hand in your life, through your life, around you? But also, as we said, that all-important phrase, with all the saints, church is important, amen? And so it's not just a solo effort, but it's a corporate, it's a group activity we do together. We need each other. We grow in the knowledge of God's love as God's church through fellowshipping with one another. And so, are you part of this church? If you don't like this church, go to a different church. But find a church, find a community of faith where you can be part of it and be part of it. Don't just show up at Christmas or Easter, but come on Sunday, join a small group, a Bible study. We grow in God's knowledge, not just alone, but also together with one another. Finally, Paul's third request is very short. He just prays for God's fullness, power, love, and presence. And all three are connected together. As we learn to live in God's power, as we grow in the knowledge of His love, we will also grow in God's fullness, in His presence, will be expressed, will be manifested more and more within us. And finally, Paul closes by blessing God, whose power is unimaginably beyond anything we can ask or think, and he says it's actively working in us. And that's my final question this morning. Do you believe that the all-powerful God, whose power is beyond anything you can understand or think or imagine, is actually actively working in you, actively working His power, His love, His presence within you? Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for this prayer of Paul. It is such a powerful prayer. And his prayer is that his words in this letter would not just be words on a page, but would be our reality, our everyday life, our experience. And that is my prayer for everybody here, that the words that I speak here, these few words that I can speak, Lord, that it would not just be doctrine or teaching, not just another sermon, but Lord, it would be your life, that it would be our everyday life and reality. I pray along with Paul for Discovery Christian Community. I pray for every person in this room. I pray that you would strengthen them, God, according to your power. I pray that we would grow in our understanding of what it means and our practice of how to live in your power, not our own. I pray for your love, oh, the love of God, which passes knowledge. I pray that everybody in here would receive your love. And I pray that we would grow in our knowledge. As an astronomer maps out the entire universe, Lord, that we would spend our entire lives growing in the knowledge of your love, so that we would be filled with your presence, that we would be filled with your fullness. God, fill us with your presence, we pray. Fill this church with the knowledge of you. Lord, come upon us with your Holy Spirit, with power, with anointing, Lord, that this whole valley may know of your great love, which surpasses knowledge. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.